right, if we can turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8. The book of John and chapter 8. Read just a few verses for us, starting in verse 23 and then down to verse 30. So John chapter 8 and verse 23 to 30. And, God's word says this, starting in verse 23, "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him." All right, this morning I want us to focus just on those last few words there in verse 29, the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, "For I do always those things that please him." You say, who's him? Well, him, he's talking about the Father, isn't he? "But as my Father hath taught me." So, "For I do always those things that please him." And is that you and I? Is that our testimony this morning? But let's pray first. Father, we thank you and bless you for the privilege of singing of your goodness and grace and mercy. We thank you for the new song that you put in the heart of every believer. You lift us out of that miry clay, place our feet upon a rock, and put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. And we're thankful for that this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that as we look at this thought this morning, this aspect of our Lord Jesus' life, that he could say he did always those things that please you. Lord, may that be a challenge to our own hearts this morning. Could we say with confidence, I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. So Lord, we commit our time to you as we give some thought to this now, and we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, the Lord Jesus said, "For I do always." Notice he said always. He didn't just every now and then do things that pleased the Father. No, he said, "I do always those things that please him." And are you and I living our lives to please God? There's various aspects. I want to have a look at some this morning. Notice, first of all, go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Our Lord Jesus is speaking again, Matthew chapter 6. Notice what he says in verse 1. "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." There are those who we would call them men pleasers. the Pharisees wanted to be seen of men. They wanted to be glorified by men. Wow, look at them. Look at this. In this context here, he's talking about giving. He says, look at this. They want to be seen. They want to give in a way that other people know what they're giving. And then it's sort of like get a pat on the back. Well done. My, you're amazing. You know how much you give. Isn't that wonderful? You have a look in the same chapter down a little further in verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. That's what it says, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly again. Here's another aspect, is of men pleasers. You know, they're fasting, but they're doing it in a way that everybody knows, man, they're fasting. Aren't they spiritual? Isn't that wonderful? Lord says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it to please men. Don't do it to impress men. And yes, we do have a day of prayer and fasting generally once a month. But we're not going to come around. I'm not going to come around and say, did you fast a day and how long did you fast for? We're to be doing it as to the Lord. Amen. Not to be seen of men. You have a look in John chapter 7. And this is a real problem that everybody faces, I believe, and some things that have to be thought through, this problem of being men pleasers. In John chapter 9, and verse 22, and here the Lord Jesus is talking to these folk, and we know that there was a problem there. This man was being born blind from birth, and so when they are challenged about this, notice verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. This man had been born blind. The Lord Jesus had healed him. And now as the Pharisees and the Jews come to challenge them, they weren't prepared to stand up for the Lord. They said, well, if we stand up, then we could be put out of the synagogue. That's no good. So we're just going to be men pleasers. We're just going to, you know, go along with the crowd, as it were. You have a look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 12, and as we look here at verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Notice what it says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Men pleasers. Men pleasers. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. How sad is that? They'd rather be praised by men than praised by God. You say, what brings that about? One of the problems, and I think we notice that with the blind man's who'd been born blind, his parents and many others, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man, the fear of, oh, you know, but what do they think and what do they say? And so I become a man pleaser. I say and do those things that'll, that's good. I'm not going to upset anybody here. I don't want to upset anybody. And we're not supposed to upset people for the sake of upsetting them. We know that. But we are not to be men pleasers. What does it say? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's a sad, sad indictment, isn't it? And I wonder, as Christians, sometimes are we like that? You know, do we love the praise of men more than we love the praise of God? something to think about. Have a look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 2. I believe we keep this in the right context here. Notice verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, they will just want to please themselves. Not, you've got men pleasers, but you've got self-pleasers. The lovers of their own selves. Notice verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. These are people who are self-seekers. They're looking for self-acclaim. They're living to please themselves. And we need to be careful, don't we, think about these things. You know, think in our relationships, are we living for ourselves or for the other person? As believers, are we living for others or are we living for ourselves, self-pleasers? We're talking a little bit about that in the prison on Friday night, and the need to make sure that we're living for others, not to please ourselves. We're living to be a blessing to others, not just for ourselves. Come back to Daniel chapter 6. We'll see some example here of Daniel. Daniel was faced with some pretty serious decisions here. In verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So Daniel was very highly thought of by the king. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So Daniel had such a godly testimony, and the king loved him for it, and he promoted him up to the top position. The others became jealous and envious of him. And so they decided, we've got to find some way of getting Daniel into trouble. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go talk to the king, and we're going to get him to pass some laws that you're not allowed to pray to anybody outside the king. Well, you notice in verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. What had happened? He said, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you'll go into the den of lions. In other words, you have to please the king. The king has passed this law, and here's what the law says, that verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel ignored this new law that says you can't pray to anybody during this period of time. He chose to please God, not the king. The potential was that he could die for that because he was going to go into the lion's den. That's what's going to happen. Well, he chose to please God rather than men. And the result was, as we know, that he was thrown in there, but the lions didn't eat him. God took care of him and preserved him. But he had a choice to make, didn't he? Am I going to live to please the king and not pray to God? And I do it three times a day, every day. That's my prayer life. Even that's a challenge, isn't it? You think about his prayer life. But he's going to please God, not the king. It's a big decision to make. You have a look at Pilate in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And Pilate is in a very difficult position because he knows that the Lord Jesus is innocent, but the crowd want him dead. So in Matthew 27, Notice in verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and our children. What's Pilate saying? I'm going to be a crowd pleaser. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to please the crowd. I know this is a just man. His wife warns him about it. There's all sorts of things happening there. But Pilate decides, he makes a decision, I am going to please the crowd. And that would have been an easy way to go. Just please the crowd. To take a stand would have been much more difficult, wouldn't it? Because the Jews would have immediately complained up the line, no doubt. Pilate could see my job could be in jeopardy here. I could be in all sorts of trouble. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to please the crowd. Doesn't matter that an innocent man's about to be put to death because I've given the okay to it. That doesn't matter. As long as I can please the crowd, everything will be good. What's the moral of the story? Be careful you're not living just to please the crowd. You know what we call today? Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Well, everybody else does it. If it's not right, don't do it. Yeah, but, you know, you've got to... No. We don't live to please the crowd, or we ought not to. Forget about the peer pressure. And that's, that, you know, children and young people have a problem with that. So do adults, by the way, as well. The peer pressure that comes. You know, you see it in the school system, the peer pressure there and all the things that happen there. It's quite ridiculous, but it's quite real, isn't it? This pressure to conform to the crowd, to please the crowd. But no, we're not to do that. The Lord Jesus said, "What I do always those things that please him. I don't care what the crowd says, I'm going to do what my Father wants me to do. I don't care what Pilate says, I'm going to do what my Father wants me to do. I don't care what so on. Have a look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1. Notice in verse 10, maybe just read back from verse 8, he says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than yet ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul was dealing with this problem here in Galatia where there was false teachers coming in. And he took a stand against them. He took a stand for the truth. Notice what it says in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's the dilemma, isn't it? Paul said, I've taken a stand about preaching the gospel. There is only one gospel. We're not going to move on it. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul said, that's it. There's no works, there's no circumcision, there's no baptism, there's nothing else that can be added to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His death, paying the price for our sins, his burial, his resurrection physically and bodily from the grave that third day. He said, if anybody preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. Imagine that. Paul, that's a bit harsh. No, people's eternity are depending upon the truth of the gospel and their response to that. Yeah, but when you start talking like that, Paul, you're going to upset some people. So I don't really care if that's the case. I have a responsibility to make sure the truth is preached. And I'm not here to please men. Do I now persuade men or God? And the word persuade has this idea of winning over, of rendering yourself friendly to someone. Now, am I trying to win over these people? Oh, yeah, but you have to understand something, Paul. You know, they're doing the best they can, and maybe they're not preaching the truth properly, but that really doesn't, well, it does matter, but well, it doesn't, and you know, all this rubbish. Paul said, no, it's quite clear. I'm not here to please men. Do I seek to please men? No, I don't. You can tell when you read through the scriptures, don't you, all the trouble Paul got himself into. Why? Because he didn't seek to please men, he sought to please God. And that's what you and I ought to have, that same attitude, amen. If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You cannot serve two masters. The Lord Jesus made that clear, didn't he? He said, you can't serve two masters, either serve God or whatever. And Paul was very clear about that. He said, I'm not here to win over men. I'm here to proclaim the truth. I'm proclaiming the truth in love and out of concern for these people, because they're teaching error and they're leading other people into error and they're leading them into hell if they continue to follow that teaching. But I'm not here to please men. It's amazing, isn't it? Who are we living to please? Crowds, ourselves, other people, at the bottom of it all, who are we living to please? We know Peter had a problem there at one time. You notice in chapter 2 of Galatians, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. What did we say before? The fear of man, what? Brings a snare. Peter, you know what the truth is. You know what the gospel is. But now you're bowing down to these men. You're becoming a man pleaser, Peter. Peter, you're the one who has all this boldness, and yet at the very point where you're strongest, you're falling. You're now becoming a man pleaser. Well, okay, if it keeps them happy, I won't eat with the Gentiles. Peter, just a minute. Just a minute. Before you were doing that, and now you're saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? Fearing them which were of the circumcision. Fear can really have some pressure on it. But what will people think? What about this? What about that? How will that work out? Well, work out, first of all, who am I trying to please? Am I trying to please my friends? Am I trying to please my family? Am I trying to please my mates? Am I trying to please the crowd? Who am I trying to please? Or am I trying to please God? Am I trying to please God? You come back and look again in John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus, he's our great example, isn't he? And we've looked at some of these others, whether they be Pharisees, whether they be Daniel or Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, whether it's Pilate, whether it's Paul, whether it's Peter. But the Lord Jesus again in John 8 says, for I do always those things that please him. Always. I emphasize that. Always those things that please him. Can you and I say, by the grace of God, I do always those things that please him? Or would you have to say, well, I do my best. I do my best. That sounds good, but the Lord's not interested in us doing our best. He's interested in us living a life that's pleasing to him. Amen. There's a difference between the two. Because if I'm just doing my best and I'm living to please myself, I need to do what God says. I need to be obedient, because it's quite clear. You know, 3 John verse 4 talks about it. You know, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. The thing that pleases our Heavenly Father is when we walk in truth. We're not walking to please anybody else. We're walking in truth, which that is what? The Word of God. Walking in obedience to the Word of God. Every parent knows that when their child is obedient, it pleases them. Amen. It pleases them. And when they're not walking in obedience, does it please them? No. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. When we're walking in obedience, it pleases Him. And when we're not, it doesn't please Him. So how do we please God? By walking in obedience to the Word of God. You see, but it goes back further, doesn't it? It goes back to this point. If we're not saved, we can never please God. And that's where religion is such a curse. We have people across this nation, around the world today, who think they are pleasing God because of their religious activities. It doesn't matter what brand of religion it is, whether it's your Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus or whatever it is, whether it's your Mormons or Jehovah's Witness or Catholics or even Baptists, whatever it is, there are people today who are living their lives in a way that they're hoping God will be pleased with what they're doing. And somehow they think that God's going to be happy with them and they're just going to get into heaven eventually. That's not the case. Remember that verse in John 3. He that believeth hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life. The wrath of God abides on him. You see, there's nothing that we can do to please God that will enable us to get into heaven. We must be saved first of all. There must be that time of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection. It's a true turning to God, a trusting and a believing that He died in my place and that God says, I'll forgive your sin. If you believe that, you'll trust in Him. You're now saved, saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the wrath to come, saved from all that, saved to be in heaven one day with the Lord. So unless I'm saved, I can never please God. And yet, as I've already said, how sad it is that many, many people out there are trying. I've mentioned this fellow I've spoken to a few times. He said, I've been baptized twice, I've spoken in tongues, I've been exorcised from demons, I've done all this and done all that. And he's as far from God as he can get. And he knows it. He knows it. Which is even sadder. So you and I, we need to maybe get with the Lord sometime and ask some questions, eh? Lord, is my life pleasing to you in every aspect of my life? Lord, not just I was in church on Sunday, bless God, but is my life pleasing to you on Monday? Is my life pleasing to you Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Is my life pleasing to you? Can I say, Lord, by your grace and only by your grace, I believe I'm doing always those things that please Him. I believe I am. I believe I'm doing at this point in time in my walk with the Lord those things that please Him. That's the challenge to us, isn't it, really? And we need to be honest with God. You don't have to tell me anything. We need to be honest with God. Because Christianity is all about a personal walk with God. It's all about a relationship with the God who created the universe. And He's our Heavenly Father when we trust Christ as our Saviour. So He's the one, first of all, that we need to be living in a way that is pleasing to Him. We need to be able to say, by God's grace, as the Lord Jesus did, I do always those things which please Him. Or at least that ought to be our desire, amen. We ought to at least be able to say, Lord, I maybe fail at times, and Lord, I may be not all I'm supposed to be, and we could all go amen to that. But Lord, my desire is to be like the Lord Jesus. My desire is to live a life that will please you. Why? Because that brings glory and honour to God, amen. And He's the one who's worthy of all glory and honour. Father, does this please you that I'm doing? These things that I do they please you? The way that I speak even, does that please you? Do I speak the way the Lord Jesus spoke, full of grace and truth? Many questions we could ask, couldn't we? But I believe each one of us needs to get before God and say, Lord, am I living a life pleasing to you? Well, if I'm not, if there's some area, could you please show me what that is? Lord, I'm serious about this. I want to please you. So let's pray, shall we? And just bow our heads.